Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, TruvySalonAndSpa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Welcome.
I just wanted to chime in and say that I think you have some great views on everything. And I think you have some great opinions.
Oh, well, thanks.
Including what you're talking about right now. I think you are highly underrated. I think that you're doing a great job.
I agree, Karen. Believe me.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi. First time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, ass. Eat cum and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast. Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg. Happy New Year! Oh my God, it's time. I feel like I've been away for so long because I have, you see. My name's Will Kuntz. I'm the host of this year's show, The Homemade Broadcast. Happy 2022. You can get in touch with the show at 813-693-2124. You can watch it live on YouTube. Yeah, maybe. I always put out alerts of when we'll be recording, and you can find it on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, and it'll be streamed there live. But maybe if you're listening to this, this may be pre-recorded. I won't say, through the magic of radio. But happy 2022, everybody, and I couldn't do it without my friend, my co-host, my pal, my, that's it. Anna Hummel's here with me. I'm Will Kuntz, and it's not a beer. It's only a seltzer, being healthy in 2022. How was your Christmas and New Year and all that?
Christmas, I didn't realize it was Christmas till about 4 hours into the day.
And that's because you're Jewish
people
roll, yes.
Right? I was also in California. So I think I was just kind of, not disoriented, but you know, things are new, I'm bopping around, going on a run. And then it occurs to me that it is the 25th, and then I'm like, oh, it's the 25th. And I'm like, oh, that's Christmas. That's actually what that is. But it was cool. I was with my mom at that time. I was in California for 10 days, half the time with dad, half the time with mom. It was a great trip. I feel like there's a lot of things I need to work on in terms of my personality.
Why? What happened? Something must have happened.
Oh, of course something happened. I was just a bit of a brat at the beginning because of the whole PCR. You got to get tested. You got to get a quarantine thing. And when I don't get my way, because here's the thing. Let me say this. I'm not high maintenance. So when I feel like I'm not high maintenance, I feel like I should just be allowed to do what I want to do, because that's all I ever want. Mm. I never need to be taken nice places. I never need to be like chauffeured around, but I just want like freedom. Like I just want to be able to go on a run or go to the gym or see a friend or whatever. But when I can't do those things, instead of being understanding, I turn into a petulant child.
Okay.
I also don't have children or a husband, so yeah. I've just been focusing on me my whole life.
Uh-huh.
So when things don't go my way and I'm used to them going my way, I act out. So it wasn't good.
What does that mean as a person in their mid-30s? I mean, when you think of a child acting out, it's usually they pee their pants or they scream and yell and pound the ground. What does a 30-year-old freak out look like?
It wasn't so much of a freak out. It's more of a shutdown.
Okay.
So what I do...
Internal screaming.
Correct. But it's also a shutdown in terms of, for example, when I first saw my mom, probably the first day or so, my personality was muted. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Like I didn't want to be there. I was acting like I didn't want to be there. I was angry that I had the opportunity to see some people I hadn't seen in 20 years, like some old friends from childhood. Mm-hmm. That we all were in town, but because of the quarantine, I wasn't able to meet them. And that I was really sour about that.
And this was because your mother was afraid. She just had surgery. She had some health problems. And
yes and no.
Okay.
Yes, because that was the original agreement.
Uh-huh.
And no, because she really wasn't that afraid is what I found out.
Okay.
It was that she wanted me to uphold my end of the original agreement. I had made a lot of promises about what I was going to do in order to see her. And then when push came to shove, I was like, well, these are ridiculous. And I was trying to renegotiate. And she was angry that I was trying to renegotiate. And when she told me that, I started laughing. This was at the end of the trip. Everything was great at the end. We, you know, squashed everything. But I started laughing and I was actually very relieved because I'm like, oh, I thought you were insane. She's like, no, I just wanted you to say you said you were going to do something. I wanted you to do it.
You know, that's something that maybe a teenager does, you know, where you want to test your child to make sure that they're a stand up person, a stand up character. It's typically unusual though for a parent to do that to someone whose child is an adult and grown up.
Well, I think that, not that there was like a lot of testing going on, but I would say that, especially with my mom, the relationship was strained.
Mm.
And I think with anybody, like if you were to put yourself in that situation and someone made a lot of promises to see you and now they're trying to negotiate and they're being a brat about it, you get angry maybe because you were like, you said you were going to do X, Y, and Z. And now I feel like you don't care about me enough to uphold your end of the agreement. Although I thought some of it, you know, whatever, was silly, I was relieved. And to be honest with you, like, I understood where she was coming from.
Okay.
If that makes sense. I wasn't mad about it.
It did.
I was actually relieved.
From what you told me, it did sound like it was a little silly. The whole thing was a little silly.
Well, but, you mean initially?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I felt about it. But to be honest with you, I more respect the fact that she wanted me to keep my word than anything else.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Sure, sure, sure. Well, good. I'm glad you had a good time. You spent some time with your mom. And what did you do for the new year?
Just hung out with some friends. One of my best friends here got a baby pug.
Oh, yes.
A puppy pug.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if this is like a psychological disorder or something that happens. Excuse me. When you see really, really cute things, but you want to hurt them.
Yeah, cute aggression.
Yeah, you like want to punch it.
Smash it.
I don't, can we try to unpack like what that is? Like what psychological mechanisms are at play? Because I don't know, but I really wanted to squeeze it so its eyes would pop out of its head.
Well, I heard a podcast about this. It definitely is a thing. Okay. And I've
heard about it too, but I don't really understand why we want to, it's like, it's, it's like almost aggravating how adorable this baby pug was. It's so, 8 weeks old.
Yeah, it says that the scientific interest in the subject arose as part of a courtesy of a poster presentation of a research findings, blah, blah, blah. It's so cute, I want to squish it. Two studies investigated the phenomenon where viewing cute stimuli leads to verbal expressions of aggression. Results showed that ratings, it is pretty adorable. Let's see if they can get that on screen there. Oh, that is adorable. Look at that. Very cute. Very cute. It looks perturbed that it's wearing a sweater.
Pug. That's what pugs look. That's the look of a pug.
I don't like pugs. I don't like small dogs. Like puppies I like, but I don't like always small dogs.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Mm.
But go on.
Let's see. It says here that the I wish the internet would just give you the answer.
Right.
Sometimes teaching ideas about the author. Okay. So it doesn't really tell you anything, but for whatever reason,
yeah.
You want to kill something that's too cute.
Yeah, it's almost infuriating. Like it was so cute, and to be honest with you, I didn't know it was going to be that small. It was like this big.
Yeah.
And I just see, and I walk into her backyard, and I see this little puppy, and I swear to God, I just started, like, punching the air. You know how I get sometimes. And it was so damn cute, and I was playing with it probably for about an hour. It was, like, on its belly, just letting me rub it. It was so cute.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Again, I wish they would just give you the answer. They don't. But it is a thing. For whatever reason, human beings want to kill or smother. It's just so it's just so cute that you just want to hug it.
I think you want to just squeeze it and hold it, and you know that the amount of pressure you want to apply would hurt the animal or the baby or whatever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a hell of a... I went to Siesta Key. You ever spend any time there?
I have. I love Siesta Key.
Siesta Key is cool. It's kind of weird, though, because there's not really bars on Siesta Key. A lot of upper-class kids that live there. I know there's an MTV show about Siesta Key.
I believe I was right by that house.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't... Is it just called Siesta Key, like the show?
I've never watched it.
Me neither.
But I know it's a show about Siesta Key. I don't know if it's still on the air. No.
That's a band.
I think it's just called Siesta Key. But it was a unique area because there's actually people that live on Siesta Key.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of just like people who live on the beach here, but it's kind of its own thing out in the
its
water.
Its own community, yeah.
Its own community, lots of houses. And then they had, places where you could get alcohol. But it wasn't a bar. It was like a food place that served alcohol.
Okay.
And I also noticed a lot of upper class. I mean, if you're living on that island, you got to be rich. I would imagine the property is. So a lot of teenagers, white, who were black, if that makes sense. Or pretending to be black.
They had adopted a African-American culture.
Yes. A lot. I was shocked. I was out on the beach when the clock struck midnight. A lot of N-words flying around on the beach.
By white people?
By white teenagers.
And with an A?
It was, yes. Okay. Yeah, not good, hard R. Not, but it was the vernacular was like they were at a Lil Wayne show or something. Okay.
Were they singing along to music that was probably playing loudly?
No, they were speaking to each other.
I'm really trying to get them out of that.
No, it was bizarre, man. I didn't really know it. It takes a lot to make me blush, but I was like, oh, guys, come on.
Yeah. Like,
you're in public.
Right. Here.
What the hell's going on? So that was a little bizarre. I don't know if that's just the, it seemed like every teenager that I ran into was like that. A teenager also called me a pussy, which hurt my feelings because I wouldn't take a drink off his bottle.
Teenagers are mean.
I ran into this bunch and they were doing what teenagers do. I was a teenager once, so I know how they act. And he did the thing where I was walking, and he goes, "Hey, Happy New Year!" Like that type of thing. And I go, "Happy New Year!" And he goes, "You want a drink?" And I, at that point, I had had a few drinks.
Yeah.
So I was like, "What do you got?" And he handed me a bottle of Smirnoff Rocket Pop vodka. And I said, "Oh, no. No, thank you. That's very nice, but no thanks." And then him and his friends proceeded, as I walked away, to call me a pussy a lot, which, what do I do? I can't go beat up a pack of teenagers
and move on.
Or get beaten up. But yeah, that's what I did. I kind of flicked them off and just kept walking. But
you realize you're over double his age, right?
Yes. It would have been it was bad either way. Cause now I look like a punk kind of,
yeah.
Cause I'm letting these kids talk to me like that. But okay. So what do? Do I go beat them up?
No.
That would be bad. I would get in trouble for that.
Or for you.
Even worse. I mean, there was 5 or 6 of them. I get beaten up by a bunch of teenagers. That's even worse.
Do you think that they thought you were a lot younger than you are? Because you look
probably
way younger than your actual age.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you could easily pass for someone in their 20s.
Thank you.
Like, you could easily be 28.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, I think that they probably thought that. And I'm almost 40 years old, which is shocking.
That.
Yeah, no.
I feel like you're going to give it to me.
Oh, it's coming.
It's like COVID.
It's coming your way.
No.
I just farted.
Stop. I'm just wafting it over here.
Gross. So, yeah, that was unique. A good period of time there. Let's see. Hello from, we got a few people chiming in on the chat. Hello from Darth Alica. Love the show, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Scott
That's
Harper.
Very nice. Scott Harper shows good radio, though. Yeah, I agree with that. Thanks. I don't really know to what you're referring. Maybe if I got beaten up by the teenagers, that would have been the case. So I wanted to talk to I know that you are the sports queen.
I am.
You love football. You love sports. You eat,
you
want to sleep.
Talk to me about Antonio Brown?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Go on. Let's talk about AB.
And I almost did a podcast about this by myself because I was worried that it would be old news by the time we got to it. But so much has happened this week. So first it started out with, you obviously saw the outburst where he took his pads off. I think everybody's seen it by now in the world.
I was actually with you in real time.
That's right. You were. I forgot about you. My memory is so bad.
And you were sober too.
And I was, you're right. Well, remember I was telling you that I felt drunk, but I wasn't. Remember, I was doing stuff. I was dropping things. I wasn't hungover either. Oh. I was fine, but I felt drunk that day. But anyway, I think maybe I ate too much processed meat.
I don't eat processed meat, so I don't know if that could be.
Oh,
I know you get the meat sweats, but I didn't know it could.
Oh man,
you turn into Joe Biden all of a sudden.
Yeah. So anyway. So, yes, we did see the Antonio Brown take his jersey off, throw his pads off, just had his weird bicycle football pants on.
Yeah, spandex.
And then he went, hey, everybody.
Hold on. Before we start, messing on him, amazing body.
Oh, I would never wear
a
shirt.
Adonis or whatever Greek god there is. Just a beautiful human specimen. Not so much the brain, but the body is great.
Oh, top tremendous. Notch. Tremendous.
It really was tremendous.
Yeah. I would never wear a shirt if I were Antonio Brown.
Gorgeous body. Anyway, sorry.
So he took off, he ran away, and went home. So they were like, the instant reaction was, okay, the head coach, Bruce Arians, said he's not on the team anymore. Okay. But then we found out as of yesterday, he was still technically on the roster.
I heard that he got cut today.
He got officially cut today. And I think that had to do with his statement that was released, through his attorney, which was very well written.
Are you suggesting he did not write that?
I'm going to suggest that he didn't write that. But there were some pretty big accusations there. Alluded to his ankle being injured, which we know for a fact was true. He missed some time with that earlier this year.
He dance off the field ever so gracefully.
Yeah, his response to that, though, was that it's different, when you're going full speed, full contact, and then just kind of jogging off the field.
Juking and stuff.
But he said he had a really severe injury where the tendon was coming off the bone, and that the big thing was that Bruce Arians was making him get back in the game. Which seems not reasonable just because of the lawsuits, which I'm sure he's going to sue. Now, it certainly sounds like it. Sue the Buccaneers. But this isn't Varsity Blues. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yes, with Jim Van Jones or something.
Sure. Vanderbeek, I think.
Yes, James Vanderbeek.
But remember Billy Bob, the big fat guy who had a bunch of concussions and he was all beat up. And the coach was like, I need you to get in there, bud. Like, that's not a thing in the NFL. They have a full staff of trainers, even doctors, orthopedic. Like, they got their own things going on there.
We got a guy on the show whose father was the official doctor of the Buccaneers for 30 years. Oh. Dr. Joe Diaco.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
That's cool.
I know that they definitely have a great medical staff.
So they didn't. It seemed unlikely that that was the case, but Antonio Brown claimed that he told the coach that he couldn't play, and then Arian said, you're done. The coach said, you're done. Antonio Brown took that to mean I got fired from my job, that I'm not done for today.
He's trying to spin this that this was just a big misunderstanding.
Well, kind of.
Okay.
I think he's trying to push the blame off onto the Buccaneers.
Okay.
Saying that they fired me and I went home.
Right. Why am I still there? You can't fire me twice.
Yeah. So he took off, left, said he loves the fans and everything. But the big allegations was that they injected him with a painkiller that is against the NFL Players Association regulations. Now, again, that's something they used to do back in the day. Where they would, you know, shoot you up and then you'd get back out there.
They did that with a lot of athletes. Oh, yeah. Board.
Oh, they.
Gymnastics.
Yes.
Basketball, everything.
It seemed like that's not a thing anymore. I mean, maybe it is. It just seems like you'd be opened up to a lot of lawsuits.
Oh, yeah. Liable for a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Is there a way to prove that? I mean,
I don't know.
Take a test where it's in his bloodstream or something?
Maybe. He didn't say what the substance was. They didn't, you know, mention what kind of medication it was. Bruce Arians claimed that he never even heard that his ankle was injured. You know, with things like that, where it's he said, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. But with Antonio Brown's, you know, past
history,
it's got a lot of issues with many other teams where he hasn't lasted a long time.
And it seems like it's all over the board. Like it just seems like he's combative and kind of like a punk ass teenager. You know what I mean? Like
a kid on Siesta Key trying to offer me rocket pop vodka.
Exactly.
That's Antonio Brown.
That's how we're tying it all in together. Mm. But that's what it seems like it is. Like it's just they say, okay, well everybody has to wear this helmet. And he goes, no, or this one. And then he freezes his feet off. He's just kind of like a reckless person.
Yes, maybe not the highest IQ individual in the world, but he doesn't have to be. His job involves running fast and catching a ball, right. And he's very good at it.
That's what everyone says. And I'm trying to, again, I don't know sports worth anything. Usually athletes get on my radar when they hit a woman in an elevator. That's when I'm like, oh, Ray Rice, of course. Ravens, Baltimore Ravens. But, so I understand that he's an elite athlete, but I think you told me, and Johnny told me, and other people have told me that there was a big incident like 6-7 years ago where he was hit pretty hard.
Yes.
And he was never quite the same after that.
Is that true? I thought that is true. He got hit by this guy. I think his name was Perfect. I don't even think he's in the league anymore. He was really good, but he was a dirty player. And
the guy that hit him.
If you look at the video, I'm going to figure out how to watch video on here while we do this, but one step at a time now. I'll show you after we stop recording here. But everybody, if you Google Perfect Antonio Brown hit, you'll find it.
And he went out, right? Like he got knocked out?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Everybody thought he was dead when it happened. It was he hit. I mean, the guy just laid into him with his head and he kind of hit his head and then he kind of went turned around.
Looked like he broke his neck
and then just laid there. For a long time. And I thought he was dead.
What team was he playing for?
He was on the Pittsburgh Steelers at the time. The guy who hit him was the on the Cincinnati Bengals. Kind of division rival type of thing. But he was just a dirty player. Anyway, and it seemed to me that from that point on, he was wacky.
Like, what was his... I mean, I don't know how popular or how good he was prior to that point. How much he was on the scene. But did he act out? Did he have personality issues before then? Or did they just seem to arise after the incident?
So I've heard, and I always thought it came from this hit, but apparently he's had a lot of problems even before that.
I imagine he probably had a rough upbringing.
Potentially.
Among other things.
But, you know, I was listening to Ian Beckel's podcast too, and, you know, Ian's a former player. He understands, you know, dealing with these guys in the locker room, what they're like. And, you know, something's wrong with it. It seems like, anyways, I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but something's going on with him. And it seems like it's always been the case, and maybe that hit made him worse.
Okay.
But something's up with him, and, you know, some people are just saying that he's an ass. No, nothing's wrong with Antonio Brown. He's just an ass. I don't know. It just seems like there's too many things going on.
Well, hold on. Sorry.
So Ian was saying that everybody's an ass. There's a lot of ass wipes in the league, but they come to work. They do their job. They're an ass. They do what they need to do. Antonio Brown he just can't keep it straight. Can't keep his head right to just do his job and go home and then be an ass somewhere else. Because he's had a lot of things with, you know, he farted in that doctor's face that Zachary brought up and Instagrammed it or whatever. He beat women, supposedly sexually assaulted. I mean, there was just a lot of things in his past that were not great. And I think the final straw with him was, and I was actually kind of sympathetic to him with this. He allegedly, he's never fessed up to it and said he did it, but allegedly got his hands on a vaccine card that said he was vaccinated for COVID-19.
I did hear about that.
And he was not. Apparently it was a fraudulent card.
Okay.
I was kind of sympathetic to him with
that
whole thing.
One transgression. That doesn't seem so bad.
Because, yeah, he didn't want to do the vaccine, okay? And it seemed like Bruce Arians is very pro-vaccine. The Bucs were one of the first teams to be 100% vaccinated, whatever, but was insisting that these guys get the vaccine. So him, one of the Mike Edwards, secondary, second string player, but plays a lot, and then this guy who's no longer on the team, all were found to have these fraudulent cards. Antonio Brown never fessed up to it. He said he was framed, whatever, whatever. But also, when they handed down the suspension to him, he was like, I'll just take the suspension and move on.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like from that point, when he came back, he felt like things weren't the same, that people weren't getting his back anymore. For whatever reason, he felt like things had changed when he came back. He came back, had a great game. And we just had Chris Godwin go out, who was another star receiver. So we really needed him.
Mike Evans
is
a wide receiver.
He is, yes. Well done. Well done indeed.
I'm so proud of myself. I'm beaming right now.
So something happened. I also heard, too, that, and I think this was from Ian as well, that he has his sources in there. There was some allegations that the Bucs were trying not to pay Antonio Brown some of his incentives. He signed a deal that was incentive heavy, meaning that he had to reach certain...
Yes, I know. And I know that last year, Brady threw him a certain amount of
catches.
And he got his $1.5 million bonus.
Yes, right.
And that he apparently approached Brady during the game and was like, oh, I'm not your boy anymore.
Yes.
Like, why are you throwing him to Gronk? But apparently, I learned that there were two guys on AB, right? That the defense. And there was only like one person trying to cover Gronk. So he was just more available. And that's why the ball was being thrown. And Brady was like, really, dude? Really?
Yeah.
Can you do this now?
Right.
Am I getting the story right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, actually,
sometimes.
And frankly, you know more than I do about this. But yeah, he was upset that he wasn't getting the ball, maybe. I don't think we're ever going to know the truth about what happened.
Yeah.
Only Antonio Brown and the team will know. But boy, what a distraction. You're coming into, you know, this is the last game of the regular season coming this Sunday.
Against the Panthers.
Against the Carolina Panthers.
Nice. Aaron Andrews over here.
And then they go and they start the playoffs. Nobody's talking about the game-winning drive, 93 yards, that Tom Brady had last week against the Jets. Everybody's talking about Antonio Brown. This is the worst time for something like this to happen.
He did. What record did he break? I know he's been breaking a lot of them.
Wait, who?
You said 93 yards.
Oh, 93-yard drive. Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, he started from the 7-yard line and went and scored a touchdown within 2 minutes. Tom Brady did.
Threw a ball to someone. He didn't run himself.
Well, I think he did run a little bit.
Okay, all right.
I mean, it's a series, right? So there's a lot of plays in that time. Okay. But it was an unlikely occurrence. Like, usually that doesn't happen. If you're starting from your own 7-yard line and you go down 93
yards.
Especially
when you have a guy taking his shirt off dancing across the field while the game is being played.
Yeah.
It was a circus, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah. Scott says that Scott Harper says that that makes no sense because he had another game in another quarter. Yeah, so that he wasn't getting his incentives. I think he's just a nut, and I think he's got some problems he needs to work out. And a lot of people, much like Ian Beckle said, a lot of people are ass wipes, but they come and do their job and they get it done.
Let me tell you. Let me kind of compare this to something else. Being crazy is kind of like being dumb, in the sense that you can call someone out for being stupid, ignorant, not quite the same thing, but dumb, not smart. But then when you hit a critical level and IQ where it's considered a problem, like a congenital issue, right? You are now mentally disabled, then they're off limits. Then you can't make fun of that person anymore. But there's like a sweet spot where someone is not smart, but they're not clinically disabled, where they're fair game. Same with being crazy. You could be like, this person's crazy. But what I've been seeing a lot with the AB stuff is people are like, oh, mental health, gotta watch out for it. We should feel bad. And I know that that's kind of what the Bucks have been doing. And I don't know if this is just like Brady saving face, but he has to put on the act of concern, because I know he put his neck on the line for AB.
Yeah,
right?
He wanted him, right?
So he can't be like, oh, this guy's a jerk. He goes, listen, you know, I hope he's okay. I hope it all works out for him. We're concerned, you know. So it seems like they're kind of trying to spin this that he's insane and we should be sympathetic towards that.
I think he does deserve, if he wants help, he should get help. But also, if you're crazy, how are you going to get help? Like, you can't get... Remember the crazy lunatic lady down the road with the house?
He's going to get help. That's just what people are saying to kind of...
But there's also a difference, too, with him, where obviously he's functional. He might be doing crazy stuff, but he's not wiping poo on the walls or anything. He's not like that.
Craziness is a spectrum, but yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because the example that came to mind was, if you listen to this podcast regularly, you know about that my neighbor down the road with the house who's tore her house inside out
and took my own two eyes.
And took everything on the inside and put it on the outside.
And broke all the windows, so now she has like no AC or heating or anything.
But it looks pretty good now. I think she got some sort of help. And I think she had a mental break, and she's picking up the pieces now. It's still a mess.
I don't think that's how it works, unless she's on heavy medication.
Well, maybe she needed medication and stopped taking
it. Got it. Okay. All right.
You know, or whatever. Yeah. Or maybe she just had a break and got prescribed medication and was like, oh, my God, what have I done?
Yeah.
But like that level of crazy scared me. So I would just try to avoid her at all at all costs. She was perfectly pleasant. Even when she was in this manic state, I would talk. If I caught her when I was going for a run or something, she'd be like, well, it's a hot one today. Like that's, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, it's crazy.
No windows.
Yeah, I bet. She goes, yeah, I have to go to the library during the day. It's too, in there is not good. I'm like, yeah, I know.
I bet.
This is weird. I gotta go. I have diarrhea, so bye. It seems like she's better now that she got some help, but I don't know if she got forced to get some help.
Right, you have no idea.
Because if you're off kilter, you don't know that you need help.
Well, that's really interesting, because that's a different level. Like, you can be crazy and have good insight, and you can be crazy and have no insight, right? So you could be like, I'm crazy and I need help, or like, you're so crazy that you don't even know you're crazy.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to assess that level of insight if they're aware that something, that they are not normal. So
right.
It's another level to the crazy, but I would say that someone who is, the worst people are the ones that are crazy with no insight, right? Because they don't know they have a problem, and they clearly don't know where to go for help or how to help themselves.
It doesn't seem like Antonio Brown thinks he needs any sort of psychological help. But he's also not tearing his house, you know, inside out and rubbing poo on the wall.
He's also a celebrity, mm-hmm. you know? So if people were talking about me as much as they were talking about Antonio Brown, you probably think you have an entitled sense of self, because people think that you're amazing and you're constantly in the media. And despite all of his transgressions in the past, he was so talented that people were willing to pick him up because he helps them win games. So I think that could also be attributing to it, kind of like a Kanye West complex of just narcissism, and I'm so good that I could do all these things and get away with it. I'm better than everybody else, and that's corroborated by how people treat him, you know?
Yes, Yeah, there could be some of that. And I guess if you have the means to, I don't know, take care of you. Well, I don't know if that matters. Like, if you're legit crazy, you could probably have a mansion and still rub poo all over your walls. There's sure. something that I would love to hear a psychologist, you know, take on what they think is up with Antonio Brown. What? Because clearly it's something.
Well, isn't it common with CTE? They kind of don't have a lot of great impulse control. So, like, if they want to do something instead of, like, the logical brain kicking in, the prefrontal cortex saying not the move, they just kind of go through with it. Yeah, I feel like that's something common that I hear, that impulse control is kind of goes out the window.
So my theory with that, too, with football is if you cut all their heads open that ever played, I'm going to say 90 to 95% have CTE. Now, to what extent, I guess, would vary. So we just had the autopsy results released from Vincent Jackson. He played here in Tampa. Was a philanthropist here. Was doing I think he died of booze, which that's a lot of booze.
Just booze, or was it kind of like the benzo cocktail?
I think it was just alcohol. I can't remember. Maybe somebody in the chat.
He died in like a hotel room.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. They found that he had, you know, this disease, the CTE disease. But I think all of them have it, and it's just to what degree they have it. And I guess Vincent's was pretty high, which was crazy because a lot of people, you know, dealt with him. He was a businessman in the area, and he seemed to be, like, nobody expected that. He wasn't acting out like Antonio Brown was, you know. He was put together and had a business and a family and all this stuff.
It manifests itself in different ways, I'm sure, in different people. Like, I don't really know much about Junior Seau other than he's from my hometown. And that's where he killed himself.
Mm-hmm.
Actually walked by where he killed himself when I was in California. Nice. But I think he was a great guy, right? But he had issues with like depression, obviously. And I imagine that's probably what happened to Vincent Jackson.
To do
and
with
when
the
we're
CTE.
Talking about impulse control, sometimes the impulse is to kill yourself and you just decide to go through with it one night
sure.
or whatever.
Or other people. I mean, there's been examples too. There was one guy murdered some family and then himself recently. And his brain was all jacked up with CTE, too. Yeah.
NFL.
I forget what his name was. I think he played for the Chiefs. But, yeah, I mean, that it happens a lot and seems to be happening more now. And, you know, I don't know what the solution to that is. It feels like it's kind of just part of the game that, unfortunately, you're taking kind of your long-term health in your hands playing this game. Although I did see... And Bill Burr was the one who actually brought this up, the comedian. I was listening to one of his podcasts. Get rid of the helmet. Because if you have your head protection, you're more liable to use your head because you have protection on your head. Mm-hmm. If you don't have your head covered, you might not use your head, or you won't use your head, actually, because self-preservation is always, sure. you know, number one. It's just instincts.
Yeah.
And I saw this league on, I think it was Barstool, actually, and it was these big dudes, and they were... hitting so like lighting each other up, but they had no pads on, so it was they were playing tackle football and hitting, I mean, hard, like jacking people up, but they weren't using their heads. And you don't really see CTE, you see it in boxing where they're just getting pummeled in the head, but you don't really see it in UFC. You don't really see it in rugby. Rugby's another sport where they're hitting each other, tackling each other.
You don't see it in UFC.
I don't think you see CTE as much as in boxing, for example.
But why? Because, I mean...
Because you're not getting pummeled in the head. It's mixed martial arts, so you're getting arm bars. A lot of times you are, but not
a lot of times
steadily.
Those are the knockout punches.
That's all boxing is, though.
No,
is
I get boxing. I get that. That makes sense to me. But I'm saying is, like, in UFC, it's not uncommon to be hit in the head. It's very common to hit in the head, especially, fight after fight.
It's just the
it's not
prevalence.
The only move.
Right.
It's not the only
the
move.
The amount that it's happening is much more in boxing than it is in UFC.
Sure.
And I think that in the NFL, too, they feel like they're protected because they have all these pads on and, you know, head protection.
Yeah.
So they're using their bodies even more and using their head more. And they're trying to get it out of the game, but... I could see it just being a league like that where they have no pads, and
I almost want to go recant what I said before. I mean, I'm just, you know, this is just my opinion, and I don't know anything about any sports, but I would argue maybe you get hit just as much in the head in UFC because you can take it to the ground and you can hit people in the head. Like if you were to be taken to the, if you punch someone in boxing and like they if, or they stumble and they go to the ground, you can't do that. But in UFC, it continues on the ground and you can be hitting someone on the ground sometimes where, and the most dangerous one is when you're on the ground, obviously, and someone's punching down on you and the head has nowhere to go. At some point, the ref will stop it, but a lot of times they don't until yeah. it's critical.
Well, I think, again, it's just the number of yeah. times that all it's right. happening. Because it must be, because they don't seem to have those problems. And I'm sure they do to a certain extent,
yeah.
but not like they do in boxing or uh-huh. probably the NFL. See, the thing is, they don't know until they cut your head open and cut your brain open.
UFC is a much newer sport.
Yeah.
So it could just be that they just haven't investigated it. I don't know.
I mean, you just don't seem to see it, like, you know, UFC guys committing suicide and murders. And I guess you don't really see it with boxers, though, either, really.
I was going to say, I'm like, boxing is kind of a dying sport because being overtaken by the UFC.
Mm.
But, mm-hmm. I mean...
Jake Paul is saving boxing.
Yeah, that's sad, but true.
Yeah.
I mean, do you see that a lot with boxers where they kill themselves or kill other people or...
I can't think of... Of anything. I can think of a few football players, you know, a handful.
Sure.
Javon Belcher was the guy, thank you, Scott, that killed the family and then himself. That was a football player that did that. I mean, there was in WWE, there was Chris Benoit,
yeah.
that story. He obviously had, and I don't know if he got diagnosed with CTE or what it was, but obviously he had some sort of mental break.
But obviously it's going to be way more prevalent in football because you have way more football players than you have boxers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, one team is what, like 60 guys or something, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's like 90 something, actually. Yeah. So, I don't know. So I'm very curious about what's going to happen. The Bucks did cut Antonio Brown today, so he's no longer a Buck.
You think he'll get picked up by another team, or you think this is the end of the road? I mean, he's such a liability, but he's talented.
Well, if he's injured, if he claims that he's injured, unless he's lying, he can't play the rest of the year anyways.
Okay, but say next season. He's 33, I believe.
He's 33 years old, which makes me sick because he's kind of someone that gets talked about where he's kind of on the back end of his career.
People
and he's
are saying for his position, he's like in the prime, but I was a little confused by that because I really? Thought like once you hit your mid-30s, you're probably like...
I mean, after 30, your body just...
People who know football said he has about 5 good years left.
I mean, that could be true. Okay. That could be true. I don't know, but my understanding is he's kind of on the... downswing.
Yeah, the twilight of his career.
Yeah, yeah, that's coming to an end. I don't know. He is very talented. He's very good, but he can't seem to make a full season.
What's his best attribute? Is it his speed? Is it his catching ability? Is it ever all
it's those things combined. He's able to, because a lot of times too, you'll have a guy who's fast, but he doesn't have good hands or something. Okay. But he is just a complete player. He can do it all. So.
How tall is he?
I don't think he's that tall. He's probably like 6 foot something, 6'1", 6'2", something like that. He's not huge.
Yeah, but most wide receivers aren't. Maybe some are. Mike Evans seems to be a bit taller.
Yeah, he's like 6'5", or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It makes me sick, though, that he's 33 and they're talking about him being on the end of his career. Yeah. Like now I used to, you know, watch athletes and they were so much older. They're men. Yeah. And now I'm much older than a lot of these athletes that I watch. It's... Makes me uncomfortable. Makes me sick.
Well, I mean, like, gymnasts who are, like, 24 are considered, like, senior citizens. So,
yes.
You know, it's just the shelf life of the
sport. It's still just an eye-opener, yeah. You know? The phone number, if you want to get a hold of us, too, if you want to leave voicemails or text messages, 813-693-2124. My buddy Josh says AB has an ego issue. Yeah, at the very least, he has an ego issue.
But
probably.
Maybe it's deserved, you know? I mean, if everyone, again, you're able to get away with all this crap and everybody still wants to pay you millions of dollars to play the game, I may have an inflated ego too, you know?
Now
he's a rapper, so he's good at everything.
If he gets into some sort of program and... you know, says I'm in treatment. Maybe some team will take a chance on him, but I can't imagine bringing that into your locker room because it is kind of a team game and you don't want a lunatic in your locker room. It's a big risk. So yeah. I think his playing days might be done, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him in the Buccaneers lawsuit. And you know, he's going to sue for sure. It definitely sounds like it. So, I don't know. It's a shame, and it's a distraction at the worst time with the Bucks going into the playoffs. I want to see Tom Brady get another Super Bowl ring, and I want to see the city of Tampa get another Super Bowl because let's face it, when Tom Brady goes in the next year, I think he's got one more season with us after this one, the Bucs are going to be really bad for a long time. Okay. So we have to enjoy what we have now.
We have it.
And it's just a shame that it didn't work out with Antonio Brown.
How critical is he for winning games? Clearly, they won without him.
Yeah, you know, it's just a shame that Chris Godwin is out too, and now they're kind of going to be doing it. You still got Mike Evans. Still got Rob Gronkowski. You got Cameron Brady who stepped up. You have, you know, O.J. Howard, who's the third tight end that was a first-round draft pick. Maybe he'll line up in the slot. I don't know. Figure out something. They'll work the game out to their strengths. I know Leonard Fournette, the running back, returned to practice. That's really good news. So I don't know. It's just, it's happening. It's a big distraction. It's happening at the worst time, but, we'll still cheer on the Bucks and, hope for the best and the best for Antonio Brown too. Hopefully he does what he needs to do. And,
Man, keep causing problems.
He is fun.
Cause that's what happened. Then I get interested in sports. Look at how much I knew today.
I don't know sports.
I knew a lot of stuff. I was teaching Will about sports.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, you know, if he keeps doing that, it intrigues me because I like the drama. I like the story behind the sports. I don't really like sports. Does that make sense?
True that.
Yeah.
Shout out to Maul. We love you too, Maul. She says she loves us. Scott says, just kind of wrap up here, UFC has much smaller gloves. A lot of the ugly cuts are mostly superficial. In boxing, you have a large blunt objects that are more repeated. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Yeah. So 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBradio.com is the website. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm home_made_man, and Anna is just Anna Hummel Radio, right, on everything?
Radio, that's it.
All right, folks, that's it. That's the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's good to be back. Make sure you check out the social media for me, home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter, because you can find out when we will be live streaming. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, this is a live show now, video show that is on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. And it's still releasing as a podcast and everything for audio-only people. But, you know, we're stepping into the 21st century here, and live streaming video seems to be the way to go. So check out hmbradio.com, the social media handles, and the Facebook there, facebook.com/HMB Radio to keep up to date with that. Have a great week. It's good to be back, everybody. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by The Indie Circuit. If you listen on podcast, thank you. If you watched on live stream, thank you. Thank yous all around. Have a great week. Will Kuntz, HMB Radio, Radio St. Pete. See you later. Bye.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.